This is the Ned and Josh podcast.
Malagana's Edwards Johnson, the team that gives you more. Visit mej.com.au.
Hit 104.7.
Yep. Right now, I could be making history with the first member of my family to get a fine for pushing a button. Mm. And that button is the mobile, like the little phone symbol in the lift in my building. Yes. I need to know what it does. I need to know who I'd be speaking to if I push that button. And every day I get in the lift to come to work. And for whatever reason, it is first thing in the morning when I get the biggest itch to do it.
It's more curiosity.
I need to know what that button does and who I would be speaking to if I pushed it. So Canberra, 131060 is the number to call. Help me out. Have you ever been in a situation where you've pushed the lift button? Who does it call? What does it do? Please, please let me know. Andrew from Springlands, how are you?
Yeah, good.
Oh, that's great, Andrew.
You sound good,
and
Andrew.
It sounds like you're going to give me this matter of fact. What happens when you push the lift button?
Well, my son's done it in Sydney a couple of times when he was three, and it goes through to emergency services call centre.
You're kidding! It goes actually to the head honcho straight away. It gets right into the serious business.
Yes,
police fire brigade, or they say, "What do you need?"
Yeah, they've just gone right fire or police.
Wow!
Like ambulance. Oh, yeah. I'm freaking out.
Oh God, that is not what I expected. I expected to be chatting to somebody from like Otis or something, one of the Schindler lift manufacturers. I really didn't expect. Well, that's heavy duty.
Is
that the same for every lift, do you reckon?
Surely not. Well, I don't know. Who knows?
Ricky from Isabella Plains, how are you?
Good, thanks, mate.
Who'd you get when you push the phone button?
I got Otis.
You got Otis. Okay, so how...
Yeah, like a call centre.
We knew that Andrew's son was three, which is great to know that my curiosity to push buttons is the same as a three-year-old.
Of course.
But Andrew, Ricky, how did you find out? How did you find out how this all works?
I actually got stuck in the hospital elevator.
Oh, you're kidding?
Yeah.
So...
just the emergency services go, I'm still in the building.
We're downstairs.
I'm in between floors one and two.
What did Otis say to do? What do they do? Do they call someone? Do they send a technician?
The worst part is, it rings like a telephone and they're trying to talk to you, but there was like no microphone in the elevator, so I'm pushing buttons to try and communicate with the guy. Hello?
You're hitting the fifth floor button in Morse code.
Save me, SOS, SOS.
Oh, mate. Did you eventually get out? Who got you out?
Oh, no one actually got me out. I opened up the doors and tried banging on the actual floor doors. No one could hear me, and then the elevator doors closed, and hello, it just worked again.
Really?
See,
that's crazy. Yep. That's so weird.
That is weird and also terrifying, because I'd like to think that, so I didn't expect me to get a call this morning saying, I pushed the button, and it did nothing. Yeah. I was just stuck in the lift. I had to Hulk my way out of the lift.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
I went up to Mount Ainslie last night.
Yep.
Just sitting there watching the sunset, getting some Instagram shots.
Brilliant, of course.
Just having a little bit of a relax. And I will say that I made a catastrophic mistake because it was like still, by the time I was up there, it was still like 36, 37 degrees.
Wow, hot.
It was still hot. And I didn't realize how many people run up Mount Ainslie.
A lot.
It's certainly a physical activity hotspot.
If anyone follows Beth... Rich Beth from here from the station.
Her name's Beth.
No, it was Rich Beth. And if you are,
it was.
If you, she's broke Beth. If you don't follow her, then you will know that every Saturday, Sunday, every free second she gets, she goes up to Mount Ainslie to run around.
Yep.
I don't know where you park. You park at the bottom and run up the hill?
Yes.
Cool.
That's what you do.
That makes sense. I don't know. I don't know why I expected that be more of a conversation.
As people were reaching the summit, I was sitting there and. Not only was I sitting there comfortably, not sweating, not having done any physical activity, I may have had a soft drink and a bag of chips.
Okay. Where did you bring these from? Home?
Yes. from the shops. Soft drink, bag of chips.
Because there's nothing near Mount Ainslie. There's no Coles, there's no Woolworths, there's no shops near Mount Ainslie.
And I didn't realise it till it was happening. It looked like I planned to sit there and mock the people doing physical activity as they were coming up the hill one by one.
Yeah.
It looked like my plan was to go there and mock these people, which it wasn't. I just didn't realise how many people did physical activity on Mount Ainslie.
Yeah,
I thought it was more just a lookout.
Yeah.
And then I'm seeing everyone run up in their their fitness gear, their wireless MP3 players. They're just drenched head to toe in sweat.
Yeah.
And there I am just... Ah, that looks difficult.
Yeah. Well,
Let's just clear. I've added that.
Yeah, yeah.
I wasn't actually heckling people. It's not running up to me. I was really being antagonistic.
I was going to say, if you hadn't said anything, you kind of look vaguely German. So you could have pretended to be a tourist and go,
I didn't know. Yeah,
and then
right.
You go, oh, what are all these joggers doing here? This is incredible. Vaguely, and I want to preface the word vaguely German.
Yeah, so I could have gotten away with being from out of town.
Yeah.
Just unaware that people are running up the mountain.
Hell, you don't even need to be from Germany. You could have just been from England or from Queensland.
I really must admit, and look, I don't want to deconstruct something while we're doing it. The choice to pick Germany, it did confuse me a little bit initially. I'm like, why not just say from overseas?
Germany. It's really, I've landed on Germany and I can't get out of my head now. You look vaguely German.
Are you picturing me in Lederhosen or something? Like Oktoberfest?
Like up a mountain. Like Sound of Music style.
It was the mountain thing. Yeah. It was the Mount Ainslie thing that got you to think. Right, yeah.
I don't know what it is.
Not Swiss, the Swiss Alps.
You'd look good in a Lederhosen though.
Please stop looking at me. You're really creeping me out.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast.
We are asking a very simple question. When have you witnessed some instant karma?
Ooh, yeah.
When has somebody done something just pig-headed, arrogant, toolish in front of you and immediately got their comeuppance? That's what we're looking for this morning. Jen's on the line from Philip. Jen, how are you?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks.
Oh, not too bad, Jen.
Good, Jen.
When did you see some karma on the parkway?
A couple of days ago, so I dropped my partner off in Phillip every day for work, and I was going back towards Gungahlin on the Tuggeranong Parkway, and there was, like, a Land Rover, like, the expensive ones, and it was, like, cutting in and out between lanes and tailgating and getting people to move over, and then did it to, like, a HSV Club Sport, and the Club Sport just moved to the other lane, and then the guy kept going through. Club Sport moved back into the fast lane and then started flashing his lights because it was an undercover.
Got him.
Got him. The best part about that for me is there are at least multiple police officers in Canberra that get to drive around in a HSV Club Sport.
That's amazing.
That's pretty great. That's a pretty great thing.
Registries for the police force has got a lot higher.
Did you just chuckle to yourself, Jen, when you saw this?
I feel like there were a lot of people in their car that he'd just, like, gotten through the line.
Mark's on the line from Franklin. Mark, how are you?
Good, thanks, mate.
Yeah, what's going on?
Yeah, not much. Just going to work.
What did you see that was instant karma near the Commonwealth Bridge?
There was a random breath test, and obviously some bloke had obviously known he was over, so he decided to hop over the meeting strip, and when he hopped over, he cut a car off, and the car he cut off was an undercover cop, so he just flicked his lights permanently on, and it felt so good just to see those lights pop on.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. That's what you want. Yeah. This is it. This is when you see, it's like you're in an episode of Law and Order yourself, and you're like, justice being served before my very eyes.
I've witnessed justice.
This is
in
what
its
I'm happy
form.
To see. George is on the line from Belconnen. George, wrap this up for us. What did you see at the cricket?
I went to Big Bash last year and these kids were playing with a beach ball and this woman snatched it off them and yelled at them and thrust it into the hands of a security guard and the security guard threw it back and about a minute later she got hit in the back of the head with it.
I think honestly, and this is pretty good etiquette across the board, if you're the person that ruins the beach ball for everybody, you're the least popular person in the stadium.
Just have fun.
She got booed by everybody.
Honestly, you kind of need that villain because the booing is part of the fun when there's a beach ball involved. It's like if the security guard takes it, boo. But if it's a patron, and you're like, you were meant to be with us.
Exactly.
You were meant to be on our side.
It's just sacrificing yourself for the better of the good.
But then to see that, you're like, it's all worked out.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
And Ned, I got to say, petrol prices in the ACT, obviously an ongoing problem. People aren't stoked that we seem to pay just that little bit more than other places in the country. And I've ranted and raved about this on the show quite a few times, but they're also talking at the moment for price monitoring, websites, all that stuff. Elections are being basically promised based on whether they're going to institute these price monitoring technology, blah, blah, blah. Here's the thing, right? If you are running on any kind of platform at the moment, obviously the technology is very exciting. It'd be great to be able to go and compare. I already do that with a couple of the websites. You've got like Petrol Spy and all those sorts of websites where you can go and check petrol prices in all these different places. I get that that's exciting. But what I'd actually like as somebody who lives in the ACT and deals with these petrol prices all the time and then goes to Melbourne and sees it for $1.19 and stuff like that, very confusing to me. I would like somebody to promise as part of their election setup that they will literally just sit down with petrol companies and just one thing, one, actually, if you want to abbreviate it, one letter.
Yeah.
Why? I don't want websites. Yeah. I don't want technology. I just want somebody to act in some position of authority to just sit down with these massive oil conglomerates and go, why?
Why is it so expensive?
Why is it so much more expensive in Canberra? And do it in that voice too. Just really hype. Yeah.
Well, no, make it coherent. That's the opposite of fine.
But the level of confusion by the high pitchedness.
Yeah.
Is exactly what I'm looking for.
No, I want someone who's speaking clearly. Because okay. If you go in there and go, they go, what? And you go, what do you mean, what? And they go, what did you just say?
We're having a very, very big meeting. We're very important people. We're having a meeting with Beaker from the Muppets.
Yeah. me. Why have you squeaked at me?
But that's it. That's the election promise right there.
Yeah.
Get some oil magnates in the room and just ask them why. Because if we understood a little better, maybe it'd hurt a little less. That's all I'm saying.
My election promise is for one day, I'll pay for everyone's petrol in the state or in the territory.
Well, I mean, honestly, if you want to be like a game show election, that I'm also up for that as well.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
Now, Ned, very interesting thing you brought up this morning. Bit of ignorance in the studio. We'd love to hear your opinions, Canberra, 131060.
Well, because at the moment it's just opinion-based.
Just opinion-based. And we haven't even done all the research into this topic. So we want to know what you think. Is there an age where you are too old to drive?
You said no, but you should have more frequent check-ins to make sure you can still see and still are competent in driving.
I think it's a competency-based thing.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, for a lot of people, dignity's tied into this as well. Yeah. So if you made it a test and if you couldn't pass the test, it takes those awkward conversations away of, I think it's time, Pop.
Yeah.
You know, just none of that. Just if you can't see anymore, you've got to say, well, license is unfortunately void.
I said 90, but I'm changing it to 95.
Okay.
Because then you get to be excited about turning 90, and then halfway through you're like, ugh, Megan's, now I lose my license. And then you get to turn 100.
Megan's on the line from Ford. Megan, how are you?
Hey, great, boys. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Thank you. Megan, what do you think about this?
So my nan's in her mid-80s and she was considering stop and driving, not because she can't drive, but she's worried about her kind of driving affecting other people on the road. So
right.
I think that S-plates should be introduced. So we make learners and P-platers have plates so other drivers are sort of aware that they're learning or they're provisional. So I think as like people start to obviously deteriorate as they get older, S-plates would be great.
Like seniors' plates.
Okay. Know that, you know, they might be like Prince Philip and not have their driving skills great.
I like this, Megan, a lot because anytime I'm driving on the highway or something and someone is going 20 under the speed limit, I'm like, what is this person doing? And then I drive past and it's like a little old lady going, oh, I'm just trying to get groceries. Yeah. I always feel bad. I'm always like, oh, I shouldn't have been mad about that.
Well, see, the thing here is too, my initial reaction when I heard that then, Megan, was like, well, that's silly. If you can't drive, we shouldn't be. But that you are literally, you think about that, that is exactly what learners are.
Yeah.
We make accommodations because they're still learning to drive. We don't say you're not allowed on the road.
Yeah.
So if someone just wants to go a little slower and take it a little easier and you saw the plate, mentally you'd go, oh, all right, okay, I'll make an accommodation for
I like this a lot.
It's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
It's an interesting one for sure. Rob's on the line from Bo. How are you, mate?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. How are you, boys?
You're not too bad, thank you, Rob. Now, Rob, quick question. Yeah. What do you think about this?
Well, my background many years ago was an accident investigator for a major company.
Oh, right.
I reckon it should basically be competency based. So If you're older, you know, once you get past a certain age, you need to take testing. That's what it's sort of done in Europe. And while you can pass the test and all that sort of stuff, you should keep it. Saying that, and I know a lot of people that do racing in their 70s and 80s and are actually very competitive.
Mm-hmm.
Yet again, there are some middle-aged and young people that probably should redo a competency test as well on the road when you see sometimes how they drive. So I think it's a fair thing for everyone, really.
Yeah.
It's
actually
maybe regularly every, you know, 5 years, everyone should just be able to go, yeah, I can do that. And actually it's not bad because you can do your learn all your defensive stuff. And so I think we're actually looking at it the wrong way, you know, rather than locking knocking the really old people. Let's have a look at everyone.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
true,
Rob, I like that idea a lot. And I'll tell you, Rob, when I moved to Western Australia a couple of years ago, I had to swap my license from a Queensland one to a WA one, and I had to do an eye test when I swapped the license.
Yeah.
Like, they wouldn't give me a new license, and I was in my mid-20s. Like, I think that's good. I like it. Every few years when you renew your license, you have to just pass a couple of tests. Not bad. Crystal's on the line right now from Queanbeyan. Crystal, how are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Producer Maddie, Crystal has typed in a little note here that just says, you know. So, what do you know, Crystal?
I don't know what the rules are in Canberra, but in New South Wales, older people do hand in, like, they have to get a doctor's report to say they can drive, and they also do a driving test once they reach, I think it's 85 or something.
Right, so after you're 85, you do a driving test every now and again, and you have to have a doctor's note. Right. Yeah. Well, look, we obviously did zero research into this before we started talking. So if you know, you know. But that's not a bad idea either, I guess.
Like, past 85 is, I think, past 85, you're within your reason, within your rights to go, are you okay to drive?
Well, look, my grandparents are 80, they're both the same age. They're 83 at the moment. And we've had a couple of moments with both of them where we've been like, oh, this is getting. So within 2 years, if they had to start passing a test, I think that would be about the right time.
Yeah.
I think that would be, look. Good. I'm glad we've got some answers this morning.
We ended on a definitive answer.
I just had to listen to Ned waffle on before, and now I've listened to everybody, and everyone's so smart.
Sorry, you were the one waffling on. I said 90. I had a dead set age.
But you brought it up.
That's true.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Hey, look, Ned, I this morning would love to give the crew at Trojan Earthworks the day off on Friday. Unfortunately, that power doesn't rest with me. It rests with Joe, and he is joining us on the phone right now, mate. How are you?
How are you guys?
Yeah, not
great,
too bad,
Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
Doing good.
Now, yesterday we spoke to you on the show. We've been doing this thing where we've been promising people advertising in exchange for giving their workers Friday off an extra long weekend. You are still planning to take Friday off yourself, Joe?
That's correct.
Yeah.
And you're still undecided on giving your workers Friday off? Is that what I'm led to believe?
Yeah, well, it'll all depend on this ad, I suppose.
Yeah, you've kind of got us in a real tough spot here, Joe. I said before, you're kind of holding us hostage. And,
well, because it's going to be our fault if your workers don't get Friday
correct.
Off now.
Correct.
You've held us hostage, Joe, which I don't. Yeah, I'm glad that you know what you're doing as well, Joe.
Joe, so what we've done is we've made a bit of an ad for you, mate, and obviously this is the big linchpin ad. It all revolves around this. Are you going to give the workers a day off? You need to hear the next 30 seconds of what your ad would be. Are you ready to hear it?
Okay.
Here we go.
G'day, Josh.
G'day, Ned.
Hey, I'd really like to dig a hole to put a pool in.
Well, mate, we're friends, but I don't think I want to help you dig a hole that big in this heat.
Nah, you goose. I'm thinking of hiring Trojan Earthworks.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that run by Joe? That guy's taken Friday off but won't let his workers do the same?
Really? I didn't know that at all.
It's pretty rough, isn't it?
Maybe you could help me dig this hole.
No way. Not a chance.
Well, I guess I better call Trojan Earthworks.
There we go, Joe.
You now, like that, do you, Joe?
It's not too bad.
How dare you come on this show, Joe,
and hold us
hostage on our own show.
So what we're going to do, Joe, is we are about to play you the second version of this ad, and if you give your workers off, if you guarantee to give your workers Friday off, this is the version that we'll play instead of the one you just heard.
G'day, Josh.
G'day, Ned.
Hey, look, I'd really like to dig a hole to put a pool in.
Well, mate, we're friends, but I don't think I'd want to help you dig a hole that big in this heat.
Nah, you goose. I'm thinking of hiring Trojan Earthworks.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that run by Joe? He's an absolute legend who's giving his team all of Friday off to make it an extra long weekend.
You're kidding. That guy sounds amazing.
Yeah, I consider him somewhat of a personal hero of mine.
Well, now I'm definitely calling Trojan Earthworks.
Great decision, buddy. And it looks like I'm off the hook for digging.
There you go, Joe. That's the decision's now in your court, mate.
Would you like to have the first ad play where we besmirch your good name, Joe, and also not give your workers Friday off? Or would you like to give Friday off to all of your workers?
And have an ad where I call you my personal hero.
And I call you a dead set legend.
Well, I don't know, fellas.
I don't know
whether we go the first one or the second one, really.
Joe, any businessman would tell you that the answer is very obvious.
It's a very smart business decision, Joe.
Of advertising your business.
Okay, we'll go the second one.
Yay! Yay! Yeah, let's give giving his employees Friday off.
And let that be a lesson to anyone that comes on this show.
Do not
hold us hostage. this is Joe, an old double switch.
Mate, with some persuasion, you've done the right thing. We're all very proud of you, and your employees, I would imagine, would be stoked.
I hope so.
You know what the smartest part about this is? If you're actually planning to give them Friday off the whole time, you just got two ads for the price of one. So you're actually a genius, Joe. Well done.
Thanks, guys.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
Now, it is time for us to get back into the Wednesday work file. It's where we ask questions of people in Canberra who have very interesting jobs. Just the first questions that spring to mind.
Exactly. Not your run-of-the-mill everyday jobs. One that you would go, I've always wondered that about this job.
This week on the Wednesday work file, we are going to catch up with a Brazilian waxer. Her name is Hannah, and she joins us.
Lifting the lid on the most fascinating jobs from around the region.
It's amazing.
It's Ned and Josh's Wednesday work file.
Morning, Hannah.
Hi, guys.
How are you doing today?
I am fantastic. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Right. Now, first question, which is more popular, the girls or the guys coming in?
The girls are definitely more popular, but guys have grown over the last few years, last 5 years probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you find that ladies are a bit braver with it or guys are a bit braver with it?
Actually, guys.
Really?
Yeah.
I would, because I nearly cried when I had my legs
waxed. So I don't know if it's trying to save face and act a bit manly but you can see on their face that they're in pain, but they definitely won't say it.
Yeah, wow. What's the most awkward moment you've ever had with a client?
Look, I've had a few.
Mm.
So all of us girls have obviously had to train on each other so that we know what we're doing to clients, and then we've experienced it before we do it to a client.
I guess it's not like CPR training where they bring in the dummy and then you have to like, it wouldn't be like that.
No. So I am the dummy my colleagues have seen all of me.
Right. Okay, so that is a bit awkward.
Yeah.
That's not something you have to go through
to normal. And then you see them every day in the hallway like, hey.
Well, that's like a classic sitcom staple where it's like, oh, you've seen me naked, now I need to see you naked.
It's also part of the training. Yeah. I don't think it's that petty.
I can't believe you got naked in front of me. Well, has anything gone super wrong while you've been waxing/tanning someone? I like to call back to the episode of Friends where Ross is like completely brown on one side and then fine on the other. Has that ever happened?
No, that has never happened. So tan's actually green based.
Mm.
And if you sweat and then spray tan over it, the bronzer, which is the brown colour, will disappear and you'll just be left with that green.
So you just turn green.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So in summer, I have had that happen to someone's legs who'd just been out jogging and then come in for a tan, but we can fix that.
Okay.
So we do have our secret little ways of fixing it. It's just a bit scary at the start.
I like that because there's like essentially no, unless you have like a dehumidifier in the room, you're like, you can't sweat, which would make me sweat in of itself. Yeah. I'm like, oh man, I'm freaking out about this.
There's so many rules for tanning. They're every Thursday for me.
Yeah.
But you have to scrub your whole body, exfoliate your whole body, do all your shaving and waxing like a few days prior to your tanning.
Right.
No deodorant or body wash and stuff in the morning. And then you've just got to
like soap
around.
And stuff?
Yeah, so nothing.
Wow. Oh, that's going to be fun.
Just gonna come in stinky. After the tan, can you put deodorant on?
As soon as you wash it off, you can.
Okay, so you're still going for a little while without deodorant because how long do you have to wait?
2 hours?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So you're essentially going a whole day without washing.
Get that done in the morning. Yeah. Don't start your activities until midday. Yeah. You're fine. That's fine.
Or go at night and then just kind of, because then you've got to go the whole day.
Obviously considering fake tan. So that's become very clear at this point. Now, what's the strangest request you've ever had from a client?
In November, we had a client who was doing Movember.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted a Movember stash left in her pubes. So wax everything around.
Mm.
Oh.
And leave, because she couldn't grow one on her face, obviously. Right. But
makes sense.
Tip sake. Yep. So, yeah.
Who's that for? That must just be for her.
Yeah.
You have to think. She's like going, this is something that I'm looking forward to.
Who knows? I mean, it's just to raise money, I guess. It's all about raising awareness, raising money.
Mm.
Hannah, thank you so much for having a chat to us today, opening our eyes to the world of, beauty and stuff. I mean, obviously, we have no clue. I mean, look at it.
From the questions we asked, you quickly don't take care of ourselves. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having a chat.
No worries.
That was the Ned and Josh podcast.
For personal injury compensation, there's one team that gives you more. Visit MEJ.com.au.
Hit 104.7.